helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Albert Einstein once said that doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome, is the definition of insanity. Yet here we are, 2 years older, and appears not a day wiser. I mean, after all, it appears most of the several states, after observing the evidence of fraud from last year's mail-in ballots and drop boxes, are doing the same thing over again. Are you expecting a different outcome? As Santayana said, those who refuse to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free, and hopefully we may learn from our history rather than dooming ourselves to repeat it over and over and over again. So I wanted to start out today, again, talking about the resurgence of mail-in balloting. There's an organization called the Election Monitoring Project, and as of October 27th, there have been more than 10 million mail-in ballots cast for the 2022 midterm elections. Now, that to me seems like a lot of ballots. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but doesn't anybody remember the issues 2 years ago? You know, back on October 25th, Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger wrote a Twitter post where he said, "Congratulations, Georgia voters. We've reached 1 million cast votes." Great. How many of them were mail-in? How many of them appeared in a tote from under a desk while nobody was looking, except for the cameras? How many cameras are there? Now, I've made my position on mail-in voting quite clear. It should be the exception, not the rule. It should be for unusual circumstances, not regular everyday circumstances, because the very idea, the ballot is out of your control. You take the ballot, someone mails you a ballot, and by the way, if you never ask for the ballot and they're mailing in the ballot, that is just rife for fraud. I mean, you might as well just put "fraud are us" on the door to the county election board. But you cast a ballot, it gets mailed to you. When you get it, you fill it out and you send it back, and it's out of your control. And frequently the tools to make sure that the vote is valid, it came from the person who requested it or submitted it, are very weak. Now, there was some fraud, but it wasn't enough to change the outcome. One is you can't be sure of that because you don't know how much fraud was actually committed. But the other thing is, how much fraud is acceptable? More importantly, when there is fraud, it means the loser probably doesn't believe they lost. Stacey Abrams style. You know, I didn't lose. It was stolen. Oh yeah, when there's evidence of fraud, it's easier for those to go on. For an election to be successful, not only must it be free, right, and fair, and transparent, but the loser has to be able to concede. They have to feel that they honestly lost and are willing to concede the election. Now, there are some people, they wouldn't concede no matter what. But I'm talking the general, the reasonable person would look at it and say, yes, I fought the good fight, I did not win, and I recognize that. And we've lost that. You go all the way back to the 2000 election, and it seems we've lost this idea of the loser actually believing they lost, whether they officially concede or not. Now, not all is lost. Not everything is doom and gloom. There are a few bright lights of sanity. But look at what it took. Now, in Pennsylvania law requires that the voter placed the date that they cast their vote on the mail-in ballot envelope. It's part of Pennsylvania law. Well, you see, there were people that said, no, if we receive it before Election Day, we can count it. That's not the law. Now, if the law is wrong, fix the law. But no, they just wanted to ignore the law. And this case went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. Because we looked at state courts and even federal courts that could not simply look at the law and say, yeah, the law says there has to be a date on the mail-in ballot. Now, the beginnings of this actually goes all the way back to the 2021 elections, County Court of Common Pleas candidate Mr. Ritter lost his bid based in many cases on mail-in ballots that didn't have dates on them yet were counted. Now, but just think of what it took, that it took all the way to the Supreme Court, that you had multiple federal courts that looked at this and said, well, we know the Pennsylvania law says this, but we know better. Just another example of the courts making law, not deciding cases based on the law, making law. Now, another interesting case regarding mail-in ballots came out of Wisconsin. A county circuit judge, Ania Trammell, looked at a request. So the League of Women Voters wanted a modification. Well, they want in Wisconsin, when you send a mail-in ballot, as I understand it, the ballot needs to be witnessed. And the name and address of the witness needs to be put on the ballot. Now, this is, okay, this is some, to me, a reasonable case of validation, right? If I fill out a mail-in ballot, I have somebody that witnesses it that says, yes, this is Paul Engel. He has filled out this ballot, and they attest to it. They sign and include their name and their address so that they can be tracked down, I'm assuming. And the state law requires a name and address. Well, part of the problem is people were arguing about how much of the address had to be on the form. Now, the Wisconsin Election Commission said, okay, for there to be, the address must include three elements, a street number, a street name, and a municipality. Okay. Well, the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin filed a lawsuit saying, you know, trying to declare that a missing address on a ballot means only that the address field is left entirely blank. Meaning, if you put in, you know, the street name, but not the house number or the apartment number, well, that would be okay. We're fiddling around the edges, right? These should be the corner cases. But it goes to show just how fraught with errors, fraught with problems these mail-in ballots can be. It's one of the reasons why, until a few years ago, most municipalities, most election commissions recognized the importance of in-person voting. And that mail-in voting was for the exception. You had to have a good reason why. See, because right now in Wisconsin, the decision of how much of an address has to be on the ballot certificate is somewhere between the Wisconsin Election Commission and the state courts. See, according to the lawsuit, no court has ever issued an order defining missing as it is used in that provision of the law. Oh, really? So now we're going to have judges decide what is and isn't a missing address. Rather than going back to the state legislature, how about you refine this? How about you come in and you set the definitions of what is and isn't a missing ballot? And just how big of a deal could this be? Well, since the 2020 elections, the Wisconsin legislature has passed a number of bills that they believe would improve the integrity of their elections, make it harder to vote by mail-in ballots, among other things. Each and every one has been vetoed by the governor, Tony Evers, who, interestingly enough, is up for re-election this year. So if you live in Wisconsin and you want to make sure that your votes are accurately tallied and you believe the legislature is trying to make the election more accurate to make sure that only people legally allowed to vote are able to vote, maybe you want to take a look at the person running for governor. Since Mr. Evers has vetoed each and every one of them. But it brings me back to my original point. Are we going to keep doing this over and over and over again, where our ballots are being dropped and mailed all over the place without proper security? Are we going to have courts determine how our elections are handled rather than our representatives in the legislature, either because the courts are just plain overreaching or because the legislatures are writing laws with that should be written better, let's say. I recently drafted sample legislation, this time dealing with the CDC. And I know, getting the details and getting them right is not easy. But that doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. See, if our elections are to be handled, they should be done based on laws made by the representatives of the people. State House members, state senators, state assemblymen, whatever your state calls them. But as long as we keep leaving large loopholes, well, there's more opportunities for the courts to come in. And when the courts are deciding, it's not the people that are deciding. And whether that court is simply trying to figure out what the legislature meant, for example, here in Wisconsin, what does it mean to have a missing address? It wasn't the legislature that decided what a missing address was. It was actually the State Election Commission that decided what a missing address was. That was eventually supported by the courts. But what about what's going on in Pennsylvania, where not only do we have courts deciding whether or not to enforce the law, but you actually have election officials saying, hey, let's not pay attention to the courts. Let's enforce our laws. Let's do it our way anyway. See, there was a lot of talk in Pennsylvania about the what the judgment was. It's a question of being moot. Was the case moot? Again, we're still dealing with a judicial branch deciding how elections are handled. We're going to keep doing this over and over again. Yes, it's going to take work. You don't end up with good legislation by accident. It takes work. And you don't end up with a good election process by accident. It takes work. It takes work in drafting the legislation, and it takes work of the people to actually cast their vote. It's amazing. People will go out of their way to save 4 cents a gallon on gasoline, but they won't go out of their way to vote in person. I know a lot of people have an issue with early voting. I don't have a problem with reasonable early voting, in-person early voting. My wife and I use it for one very simple reason. My wife is in a wheelchair, and it's hard for her to get around, especially in crowds. By having early voting, by voting at times when most people are not around, it makes it a lot easier for us to vote without either causing ourselves heartache or making life difficult for other people. They already have to make certain accommodations for my wife's wheelchair and stuff like that. But in many cases, that also means we can vote in person rather than relying on, say, a mail-in ballot where, because of my wife's handicap, she could request a mail-in ballot. I'd much rather vote a week or two early in order to do it in person than mail-in ballots because of the difficulties of her physical limitations. But after 2020 and the mysterious finding of ballots, the hiding of the counting, and the evidence of drop boxes being stuffed with ballots, you'd think the American people would have learned and done something to make things better. It appears not nearly enough of us have, not nearly enough of us are requiring our employees to do something about it, which means we can pretty much be expected to be doomed to repeat the same history in 2022 that we did in 2020. And we'll have no one to blame but ourselves. Now, I want to talk a bit about some other things around the election that we should have learned a lesson from, but apparently haven't. But I have to take a break. Now, before I do, please check out Healthy Cell. You know, the vitamin really hasn't been updated since the 1930s until Healthy Cell came along. They've designed a vitamin supplement, a meal supplement that benefits your body at the cellular level. They have a lot of different products. Now, one, my wife loves it. My daughter loves it. It's called REM Sleep. It helps support all four stages of sleep. Helps you fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deeply so you can wake up refreshed and ready to go. All in an easy-to-use, travel-ready gel pack. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off REM Sleep or anything else in your first order just by going to HealthyCell.com and using the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So again, head to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together, make sure you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. It will tell HealthyCell that you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, they'll give you 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You have rejoined the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. Today, we're talking about repeating the mistakes of 2020, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. I spent the first segment talking about some of our election laws and things like, you know, mail-in voting and Dropbox and whatnot. But this segment, I want to look at something else. Now, the Biden administration has been using social media influencers. Right? The idea is to get people to get the word out. So there's all over social media, they've got these influencers. And apparently they went to the White House to get their COVID vaccines. And listen, hey, freedom of speech, right? If these people want to promote the COVID vaccines and the Democratic Party, more power to them. I have no problem with that. Using the White House as a photo op to promote that I have some of it would have an issue in. But I'm looking at this going, if the COVID-19 vaccine is all it's cracked up to be, which it's, by the way, proven not to be, why the advertising campaign? But there's more. You see, they're also promoting the Democratic Party in the upcoming election. You know, if you're reading this, it's not too late. Go register and make a plan to vote. You know, abortion's on the ballot and all of that stuff. And here's the part I think we still haven't learned from. Why would you be making your decisions on who should represent you based on a bunch of what seem to be roughly millennials, young people that have a face in social media? Just think about this for a second. Are you telling me that the best people to get advice on who should represent us in our governments are a bunch of kids that have barely voted? That simply because they have a social media presence, we should listen to them about who to vote for? See, that's what we keep doing. We keep looking to celebrities to advise us on how to do this. And guess what? Celebrities, not only are celebrities people, they're often not experts. You see, in looking at the social media that was generated by this press event, effectively a press event, you know, they talk about getting your vaccine, getting your shot, and it's easy and it doesn't hurt. You know what they don't talk about? They don't talk about the fact that it's not passed all the FDA tests. They haven't talked about the fact that it's emergency use authorization. They haven't talked about the fact that people, a significant percentage of people have had serious side effects from this. But you see, they're social media influencers. And how many people are going to change their mind because some kid on TikTok said it's cool to get vaccinated or it's cool to vote for the Democratic Party? You know? To say, you know, oh, okay, you have to vote because, well, you know, abortion's on the ballot. Oh my God. Only the Democrats are promoting this idea that abortion's on the ballot. But that's my point. See, if you're choosing your elected representatives based on the opinion of celebrities, you're not a free person. Other people are making your decision for you. You know, when I used to teach high school Sunday school, I would always tell my students every year that the most difficult question I'll ever ask you is why? Why do you believe something? Do you have a basis for it? Or is it simply something you heard? Are you going to make a decision about your medical future or about the future of this country on a bunch of millennials that showed up at the White House? If you are, our country's in real problems. Because the other side of this story is the Foundation for Government Accountability is alleging the Department of Justice is refusing to provide information on how the agency is enforcing Joe Biden's executive order telling the agencies to increase voter turnout. Now, what does the Department of Justice have to do with voter turnout? I mean, other than enforcing the laws, the actual federal laws, the legitimate federal laws about you know, enforcing the Constitution when it comes to people being able to vote, the answer is absolutely nothing. But what we have is we have the current presidential administration turning the federal executive branch into a giant Democratic voter registration and get out the vote agency. And nobody seems to be saying much about that. I mean, here you have the federal government under under an order from the president meddling in state elections. See, it's one thing if he were to say, yes, let's make sure that these constitutionally protected rights, that we're not dealing with poll taxes, that we're not being discriminated based on age or sex or race. Let's make sure those are enforced. Absolutely. Federal law, DOJ, those are cool. But no. See, the order was for the federal government to work with local and state officials, in other words, meddle in the process, to not only protect but promote the exercise of the right to vote. Oh, you're not going to promote it. You're going to be pushing this. Being this is an administration that has used its governmental and law enforcement powers to intimidate their political opponents, do you really think this is going to be a fair get-out-the-vote? By the way, the executive branch, it's actually a crime for the federal government to do that because it's not a power delegated to the United States. The United States has no right to get to deal with promoting elections. That is a state function. That is a local function. The only realm they have, the only powers they have related to the election have to do with enforcing constitutionally sound election law. Meaning it's actually a power, they're actually enforcing powers delegated to the United States via the Constitution. And of course, if those federal agencies are not transparent, if they're not open about the process, how can you have a free and fair, transparent election if the people that are trying to influence the election, the public entities trying to influence the election, are not transparent? How do we know the DOJ is being free and fair about how they are promoting the election process? We don't. And to be honest, I don't trust any government actor as far as I can throw them. So why would I trust that the Department of Justice or any other branch of government is actually, why should I listen to them when it comes to promoting the election? Speaking of promoting the elections, the Media Research Center did a study showing that Google manipulated search results in order to benefit Democrats in top Senate races. That's what the report found. They specifically said that Google buried the websites in their search for 10 of 12 Senate Republican Party candidates. That was 83%. They appeared lower. So in other words, if you were to go and search on Google for these Senate races or for these candidates, their websites would be down lower in the search page. They claim that Google hid 7 out of 12 Republican Party candidate campaigns' websites in one organic search results. In other words, the 7 of the 12 candidates did not exist at all, while 8 of the 12 Democratic Party candidates were not only at the top of the list, they were highlighted. They were in the top 6, which, if you know anything about search engines, that's the ones that most people click on. Now, according to the MRC, when they looked at Bing or DuckDuckGo, they said, with the exception of 2 candidates, both of them showed both the Senate Democratic Party candidates and the Republican Party candidates' websites. In other words, they were trying to be fair, and they all appeared in the top 5 of the organic search results on page 1. So here you have Google apparently manipulating their search results to influence the election by promoting Democrats and hiding Republicans. Now, you'd think, hey, this is news. People should be involved with this. News organizations should be following up on this and if not double checking it and then talking about it. Well, not really. See, Newsweek did what they call a fact check. Now, I have to tell you, when I see the words fact check, I pretty much assume it's a lie. That's how bad fact checks are. So, you know, when I see in my newsfeed, fact check, something in there is not right. So Newsweek did a so-called fact check, and they said that MRC found does not provide any definitive evidence to suggest Google deliberately alters their algorithm for partisan effect. You know, if I were in a court of law, I'd say there's certainly probable cause. When you're compared with your competitors and you obviously show more, promote the Democrats and appear to hide the Republicans, there certainly is something there. But it's another reason why you don't listen, at least you shouldn't listen to Newsweek. I don't trust any media, by the way. I don't trust the MRC. I double check them as well. But I wonder how many people, you know, they see a Newsweek article, they see a fact check, and they assume that, well, they're checking facts. No, Newsweek is covering for what appears to be Google's partisan search algorithm. Something that is nothing, something that has been shown over and over and over again. But how many people listen to Newsweek and never double check to see if their fact checks are actually checking facts? And I have to right now, I have to apologize to my listeners in North Dakota. I've been meaning to talk about this pretty much since I was up there in the end of September. And it's just been every time it just got overtaken by the events of the day. But I wonder how many of you have heard that there was a young man in early September in North Dakota that was run down and killed because the person claimed that they were a part of a Republican extremist group. How many of you heard about that? I heard about that when I was in North Dakota. It was certainly being talked about. You know what you don't see a lot in the news? First of all, I haven't really seen much news about this at all. And other than the factual statement that this gentleman, and I will not use his name, I will tell you that he is 41 years old, that the reports I heard is he got into a disagreement with a teenager, and the teenager left. The man went, got his car, chased the teen down with his car, ran him over, and killed him. All because he claimed the teenager was part of a Republican extremist group. I've said for quite a while now, if there is a shooting civil war in America, it will not be started by the conservatives. It'll be started by the progressives. But just think of the news media. Here you have a political hate crime. I don't like to use the word hate crime, but under the way it's used today, this is a hate crime. This man chased down a teenager and killed him because he was a Republican. And in his mind, that meant he was in some extremist group. Now, I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat, but when you have people mowing down their political opponents, shouldn't that make the news? I mean, we talked a lot. There was a lot of talk for a short while about the man who shot up the Republican baseball team, right? They're practicing for a game. He went searching for the Republicans. You're saying, Paul, what does this have to do with not learning our lesson? See, when we listen to organizations that, like the mainstream media, like the corporate media, that cover for the actions of one group while making up, in many cases, falsehoods about the other group, when you have a group that says, Google does appear to be manipulating the outcome, but there's no proof of it. You can't say that. There's no proof of it. Yeah, well, what about and then at the same time they suppress information about the political based attack in North Dakota. See, the thing we keep doing is we keep listening to the corporate media. The corporate media that's been lying to us for decades. We find out now more and more how much they've been lying to us. That manipulate us, that promote almost exclusively one political party. And we keep listening to them. And we keep giving what they say any value, any weight. And then we wonder why we end up with the same outcomes over and over and over again. The same media that said, well, you know, there was no fraud. It was a freest, 2020 was the freest and fairest election. Pay no attention to all the evidence of fraud and malfeasance and all the indictments and criminal cases. No, we're supposed to listen to them. We're supposed to listen to them when they tell us that Google is not manipulating the outcome. Don't pay attention. Who are you going to believe, the corporate media or your lying eyes? We're supposed to, you know, don't pay any attention to that political attack, that political-based murder in North Dakota. No, pay attention to, abortion's going to be gone. You know, people are going to die from abortion, except that's not true. That the court outlawed abortion is not true. See, I think part of the reason we're in this situation is we never bothered double-checking the other side of the story. See, it's not that the stories are one-sided. That's part of human nature. But the problem is we never seem to search for the other side of the story. Once we hear a story that we like, we simply go with it as if there's no chance it could possibly be wrong. And we're doing it again and again. And for some reason, I still have people that are convinced that things are going to change, that if the Republicans win the House and the Senate, things are going to magically change. Well, they will, a little bit. But if history is our guide, the Republicans aren't going to make a big change because they're just as interested in their own power as anyone else. Now, I want to take a look at some other stories, something a little different before we close out for the day. Again, I have to take another break, but I want to remind you, I am but one voice on AmericaOutLoud.com. There are lots of great content creators there with lots of different viewpoints and lots of different information. So I recommend you go there every day to find out what's going on. I get the little notifications. I have them in my news feeds. It's, you know, it's part of being a citizen is knowing what's going on and then sharing that information. You know, like they used to do back in colonial times at the pubs and the coffee houses to share information. So go to AmericaOutLoud.com, find the articles, the stories, the podcasts, the videos, share them with friends and family, share them on the internet so we can all secure the blessings of liberty.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. We know you because we are you. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. We are America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. You know, we were talking previously in the program about learning from past history and doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. But I wanted to take this last segment. I want to pick up a couple other, we'll call them more interesting news articles that may impact how we view the upcoming election. Maybe not. Now, most of you probably know I was born and raised, spent most of my life in the empire known as New York State. So this one caught my attention. See, one of the things that New York has done, I mean, they've been truly tyrants. And New York City was really bad when it came to the COVID, quote-unquote, vaccines. They were mandating that city employees become medical experiments in order to work. Well, I was actually surprised because the New York State Supreme Court found past Monday that those orders were unconstitutional. The vaccine mandate that was adopted by New York City based on an executive order from Mayor de Blasio and basically had 1,400 city employees being fired, getting their walking papers. But based on the the opinion of the court, they're going to get their compensation. Now, reading some highlights from the ruling, the court found that the health commissioner cannot create a new condition of employment for city employees. The health commissioner cannot prohibit an employee from reporting to work. The health commissioner cannot terminate employees. The mayor cannot exempt certain employees from these orders. If all that sounds a bit familiar, those are the arguments that have been made all along against these draconian mandates. So not only will these, I understand that these employees get their jobs back, they'll get back pay. Now, why do I bring this up today? Well, here we have New York State, a bastion of progressive totalitarianism, and you have the state Supreme Court saying, no, you went too far. But it also should remind us of the importance of these elections, even if, you know, certain offices are not up for election. Are we going to look at the performance of these employees of ours and rate them when it comes to re-election? Now, I know de Blasio is not the mayor anymore and all that, but we should be thinking, look at what Mayor Eric Adams is doing and ask yourself, is that the way you want your city run? Now, another example. Now, I've said all along, right, there are three types of lies. Lies, darn lies, and statistics. Well, I think we should change it for this one. It should be lies, darn lies, and politics. See, President Biden warned, quote-unquote, warned the American people that nearly every COVID-related death this year was because people have not received an updated vaccine. Now, I guess, you know, politicians lie. We all know that. How can you tell when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. But I'm sorry, this is taking it to an entirely new level. So here is Joe Biden saying, hey, listen, hey, everybody died. Pay no attention. Don't pay attention to your lying eyes. I'm telling you, nearly everyone who died from COVID this year was not up to date on their shots. Well, the CDC says otherwise. See, according to a study from the CDC, more than 75% of the COVID-19 deaths this year were people who were fully vaccinated. And by the way, yes, they had among those, they had at least four comorbidities, but again, they were fully vaccinated. And by the way, remember, President Biden twice this year tested positive for COVID-19, even though he was fully vaccinated and twice boosted. So what does this have to do with, you know, learning from history? I'm sorry, if you trust anything that comes out of the mouth of this administration, I can't help you. If you trust anything coming out of the CDC, I can't help you. Why do you think I drafted the sample legislation called the Save Our Children from Medical Experimentation Act? Because nothing coming out of the CDC should be trusted. If they're willing to have medical experimentation on children who are at statistically zero risk of death from this disease, they're willing to do anything. And if the President of the United States is willing to stand up and say that almost all the deaths were people who were unvaccinated, when his very own CDC says the opposite, says 75, at least 75% were fully vaccinated. You know, how do you listen to this man and expect a different outcome? And speaking of Biden and the CDC, he also called for every American, he calls on all Americans as young as 5 to get a COVID vaccine, quote unquote, vaccine once a year. Now, again, these are not vaccines. Legally, they are not vaccines. They are biological products. They're gene therapy. They are ineffective as a public health vaccine because they don't stop you from getting COVID. They don't stop you from spreading COVID. They don't stop you from dying of COVID. By the way, children as young as 5 are at a statistical zero chance of death from COVID, especially Omicron, which is the current variant running around. But yet here he is. He wants everybody as young as 5 to be experimental. These are all available under an emergency use authorization. These are experimental treatments. And he wants to experiment on your children. Now, I know Biden is not up for re-election. But I want you to consider. I want you to consider the type of person that we're dealing with here. I want you to consider the utter disregard for the health of the American people. The utter disregard for public health. The utter disregard for medical ethics. The utter disregard for his oath of office. And I want you to look at someone like this that ignores the Constitution, ignores the law, ignores everything to do what he wants done. And I want you to ask yourself, when you're looking at who you voted for, are you looking at somebody that has fulfilled their oath to support the Constitution and to protect your rights? Or are you looking at somebody that disregards logic, reason, science, ethics, law, and does whatever the heck they want? See, regardless of the outcome of this election, this man will still be president. This man has already shown a penchant to ignore Congress, certainly discount the work of the courts, to simply rule as a dictator, simply write executive orders and do whatever he wants. Which means it is up to we the people, our representatives in the House, our members in our state legislatures, our governors, our mayors, our city councils, our county commissions, to understand the proper role of government at the different levels and enforce the law, not the supreme law, not whatever some legal says. I mean, sure, we're going to have a new House of Representatives. We're going to have a third of new U.S. senators. But more importantly are the people in our states. It's the governors, the state legislatures, our sheriffs, our mayors. They're the ones that will make a difference. They're the ones that can protect you. But I ask you, did you take that in consideration when you voted? Or did you vote the same way you've done each and every time before? You pick the donkey, you pick the elephant. You pick the person that looks good, the person that whose name you recognize. But did you bother checking to see if they had any real qualifications? Did you bother checking to see if anybody who held office fulfilled their oath to support the Constitution when it was difficult? Did you check to see if their positions fell in with what the Constitution of your state or of the United States allowed them to? My guess is the vast majority of American people did exactly the same thing they've been doing for decades. And then they keep wondering why they keep getting these terrible outcomes, the same type of outcome over and over again. And I keep telling people, they come to me and say, how do we fix this? What do we do? And I'm like, well, we spent decades making this mess. You're not going to fix it in an afternoon. You're not going to fix it in an election. And you're certainly not going to fix it if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Now, regardless of the ultimate outcome of this election, I would hope that my listeners would learn from what's happened. They would learn that doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome, is how we ended up in this mess. Allowing others to decide for us what the law means, what the Constitution says, what the government is and is not allowed to do, is how we got into this mess. So if we don't want to be doomed to repeat our history, which, by the way, we are, and not just our history, but the history of other countries, well, then we must learn from our history. And if we wish to not be insane, we cannot do the same thing over and over again, expect a different outcome. We also need to recognize that it's too late for 2022. We are way too late to do anything to make an impact in 2022. But we can start making an impact for 2024. Now, I'd love your opinion on something. I've been contemplating trying to get involved in my county board of electors. I think I might bring a unique idea to this. I am not a politician. I'm not planning on running for office. But I think it's something where I could help. And I think it's a nice local process that I could have an impact for. And I'm curious, what is your opinion? What local, what county aspect can we get involved in? Now, I've had several different groups contact me, sometimes dealing with lawsuits, sometimes dealing with legislation, when they're trying to improve their election quality. And they're looking for a constitutional viewpoint. And one of the most common things I hear is, we can't find anyone to help us. We can't find a lawyer to take up our case. And I want to remind you, you don't need a lawyer. A lawyer is there to advise you. But if you want to make a change, if you want to stop doing the same thing over and over again, well, then figure out where you have an idea that can help. Again, I'm considering my county election board. I'm also, by the way, considering the school board as well. The only two places I can think I might be involved. But I'm going to ask you not to lose the trees for the forest. I know that sounds backwards. But think about it. We see these big, huge problems, and we try to figure out how to fix the forest, when what we really need to do is start fixing the trees. Find your niche. Find what you can do. Help educate others. Now, I do it based on a constitutional principle. It comes from reading and studying the Constitution and then going from there. But if we don't want to be having this exact same conversation 2 years from now, then we need to change things and we need to start it now. I'm not talking about running for elections. You know my feeling about that. No, I'm talking about being involved and making sure that your election process in your city, in your county, in your precinct is free and fair and transparent. Yes, you know, it's not going to change your state. It's not going to change the nation. It's not going to change the world. But you can make a change right there. You know, I'm reminded of a group of men back in 1944 who came home from the war in Europe only to find that their rights had been stolen right out from under them, right in their county. Their sheriff, their county election commission, many of their county officials were corrupt. Their deputies were corrupt. And when they tried to stand up and fix things following the same process, surprise, surprise, the election was still stolen. Well, at least they tried to. See, these men in Athens, Tennessee, were not stand-by while their election was stolen. They did something. And when that something at first didn't work, they did something else. They moved on. When they, you know, when they saw problems, they ran for office. When they had problems with that, they find other ways to run for office. When the elections laws were being violated, they went and enforced them. I don't want to get to the point where we are enforcing election laws at the people level because our elected officials and our sheriffs won't. But that only happens if we, the people, start now and educate ourselves and prepare ourselves to be citizens. I got a question the other day, which was interesting. You know, the citizen of a republic is blank. They're a citizen. And as a citizen, we have responsibilities. And if we get to the point where we must use arms to defend our rights, to protect our votes, to get a free, fair, and transparent election, well, that means that we've failed. In my mind, that means we, the people, didn't do our job when the solution was less painful. We are in this situation because for decades, our parents and our grandparents sat back when little problems, little infections became big ones. Are we going to do something now before these infections become life-threatening? Because if we keep going on just doing the same thing over and over again, hoping against hope that this time it will be different, sooner or later, the only choice will be arms or subjugation. And our children may very well curse us because we were unwilling to stand up when the cost was small and we left them an evil and corrupt government because we could not be bothered to try something different. Now, that may not be an exciting, a rah-rah, a wonderful way to close the program, but I think it's an important one. I think it's important enough that you should be considered sharing this, letting other people know. Weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, they can hear the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. They can also listen to the podcast on their favorite podcast app. But I would appreciate it if they would subscribe and rate the show. It helps other people find me as well. You can find all the links at the homepage at America Out Loud. As I said, take them, share them, help, join in, do something different, become part of the solution as we all work to share the blessings of liberty.